This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, gentle listeners, and welcome to Go, My Favorite Sports Team. I'm here, the man, the myth, the legend of sports, all balls in holes, King.
Wow.
Tyler.
Okay, all right. Hey, look, if you want that to be your nickname, it'll be the all balls in holes king.
No.
All hail Tyler, the all balls in holes king. Every hole, he has a ball for it. Every ball, he knows the hole for
it. I immediately regretted saying
it. Well, you're going to regret it a lot longer than that. Well, we're here to discuss the world of sports, but before we get started, as we always do, I need to accost you with the opinions and thoughts of our lovely, lovely listeners. My name is Mark, by the way, if you didn't know, also known as Markiplier, YouTuber extraordinarily short. I've got one.
He has not gotten the leg extension surgery,
I have not. But I have gotten eye surgery. I wasn't going to talk about it much, but no one listens to this podcast, right? No one's going to tell anybody else about it. There aren't thousands of people hearing this. I got eye surgery recently, so I got called Smile, right? Smile. It's Smile.
Which makes me think of teeth. Every time, I'm just teeth. Why eyes? I mean, you do smile with your eyes, but teeth.
I know, right? So I got teeth in my eyes implanted surgically. It's to help me see better. But no, it's basically like LASIK, but it's a more evolved version. It's the newer procedure based on it. And I can't believe I didn't do it sooner. I see incredible now. It's stunning and it's great and I love it. But
I have to ask, do you find me less attractive now?
I can see every pore. It's like you're HD, 4K, 8K even. No. I find you the same amount of attractive, which is amazingly. You're gorgeous. You're fantastic. You're beautiful.
I need to leave this room now because I'm uncomfortable with compliments.
All right, good. Fair enough, all balls and whole king. But the reason that, like, I was thinking about the leg lengthening thing is, like, number one, I don't want it. Number two, I don't need it. But number three, this is exactly what I was saying. There's a newer procedure for eye surgery that I got. Not that LASIK is bad, but there is clearly, as time goes on, there are better procedures. Even if this leg lengthening thing was a totally chill thing to do, which apparently it's not, and it's 6 months of agony as your bones slowly stretch over time, there's probably going to be a better version of it down the road. And you won't.
Yeah, like, they're just going to take somebody else's bone and shove it in there.
Yeah, from someone who doesn't need it.
Bone transplants.
Exactly. Sell your bones to the rich to make them taller. That's what we need. That's what makes society better. Anyway, so I still frown upon the idea of leg lengthening surgery. Like, I just don't think it's a good idea. But I guess I can't stop you. It's your legs, your money, whatever. But Tyler, there are some people with opinions or questions or thoughts that need answers that only your expert opinion can solve.
All right. I am prepared as a normal person sitting across from you.
A normal person with a master's degree who is the king of all balls in holes?
Yes.
Amoeba_Jess says, would sports be better if players couldn't break rules. So the example being in video games, there are programmed rules. Now, even these, some people do try to get game exploits, and usually they are patched and banned. But for the most part, it is a strict sandbox in which people can only play and operate in the parameters that are established in the game's programming. However, in real life, it is different. We've talked about this a little bit with, like, some people cheating here and there. But in your opinion, would sports as a whole be better if people physically could not cheat, if there was no way for people to cheat?
Well, it's really interesting to talk about this because it depends on how you're defining cheating. If you're defining cheating as like performance enhancing or outside forces, like not the things that you get penalties for in games, because that's exactly a part of the game.
All of it.
Because arguably that's cheating, because the majority of time cheating is penalized is through the penalty system within sport itself. So like if you grab a receiver, that's technically cheating to take an advantage with, which is why there's a penalty.
It's against the rules.
Right. So I would say removing all ability to be able to cheat would not make sport interesting, because you have to have the human element, right? And part of cheating also creates advancement and understanding and changing the rules and adjusting things. And so if you remove all semblance of cheating, if it's completely impossible, you remove the ability to learn and improve upon the sport as it is.
Right. Okay.
And for people to have to train to avoid doing that. So like a defensive pack can't grab a receiver. A baseball player can't spit on the ball and throw a spitball as a pitch. Like if you remove the elements that allow advancement, which oftentimes the way we advance is through human error and mistakes, you remove the human condition to sport. And if you remove the full human condition to sport, regardless of what sport it is, it almost ruins the most fascinating thing within it, which is simply the human condition.
Right. The human's ability to be like looking for every advantage. Now, in a different way, and I kind of agree with what you're saying. I do think like it's part of it. That's why in Madden, fouls are part of the game, right?
Yeah.
It's built into it because people expect that about the game. So it's kind of like part of the sport. Now, I have a very spicy Five Nights at Freddy's take that kind of pertains to this.
Are you talking about the most recent game where the speedrunner's shortcut to get to the very end and like super quickly?
No, I'm not worried about that. That's speedrunning. Speedrunning's a different like strategy. I'm talking about like facing the game for what it is. And it's part of the reason why I had a problem with Ultimate Custom Night, when the original way that I was like seeing the path that a lot of people were taking to beat it was like with exploits and using like quirks of the game programming to do something instead of like brute forcing it. I get that. That game, 50 characters, it's basically impossible. So any advantage would be something, because it might not be winnable when it comes to normally playing it, quote unquote.
Right.
However, with Five Nights at Freddy's 1, there's a certain quirk that is taken advantage of in Security Breach that has been there since the beginning of the game that causes Freddy, the actual animatronic Freddy, if you have your camera set to a certain camera where Freddy is next to your door, and you leave that camera there without ever moving it and opening and closing your camera system, doesn't change anything. You can close it and he still will not move. It is technically holding him there because the way the game works, it can't move while you're looking at it. But you're not looking at it because the camera's down. This makes 420 mode in Five Nights at Freddy's 1 trivial. Effectively, it negates an element of the game entirely, which is Freddy as an animatronic moving around. Then you would just have to deal with the three other ones.
Right.
And in a sense, it makes it a lot easier. My spicy take on it is, if you beat 420 mode using that exploit, you did not beat 420 mode. You did not adhere to the nature of that challenge when it was first established. And because I know I did it, it is physically possible to beat it without using that exploit. Then I say that is the ultimate goal of like an achievement. And just because you win the game based on the parameters that like you technically I was allowed to do it, does not mean that you actually did that challenge. And I have no respect for anyone that says they beat it. As the king of Five Nights at Freddy's conversing with the king of all balls and holes, like this royal court of discussion, if you beat 420 mode with that exploit, you did not beat 420 mode.
I can understand that sentiment. And the reason I can understand that sentiment is it's like if you cheat to achieve something.
Yeah.
Like if you cheated to get your A on a test.
Yeah.
You don't get the point of that challenge.
Yes, exactly.
The pride that comes with that and the sense of accomplishment is diminished.
Yeah.
Which does reduce like the achievement in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, there's certain levels where like 420 mode exists for a reason. It's supposed to be challenging. It's supposed to be made that way. But at the same time, like I think about video games and accessibility and understanding that having an easy mode, especially in story-based games, should be a thing so that people that have physical disabilities or other disabilities should be able to enjoy the story.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's a different experience. It's not set up to be, I'm achieving the hardest mode in this game.
Yeah.
It's so that they can experience the game.
Right. And I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, because the difference between the main game and 420 mode, obviously, is like there's a story in one. One was meant, probably Scott thought it was going to be impossible. Whereas like, let's get a game like Elden Ring. Very popular game, very difficult game. It does not have an easy mode. That makes the game inherently less accessible. However, it could be overcome with tools that enable people to use it more. However, then the game could be like, you're using a cheating tool or something like that.
Yeah.
For me, it's a fine line, and a lot of people get way too up in arms about it, which I think is stupid. Like, it's if you get so animalistic about it, like, you can't make it easy because I get poopy pants mad, whereas I'm getting poopy pants mad about 420 mode. I'm not actually, but people, I have a strong stance on that because it is a challenge in and of itself. However, with Elden Ring, there is a complex story. It is a good game. It is a very fun game, and I think that it's tough. It is a tough call to make. I think the main point that people lose out on is if your stance is actively trying to prevent people from enjoying the same thing that you are and doing it in a way that in no way impacts your enjoyment of the game, you're just being obstinate. You're just being an obstacle, and you are just trying to gatekeep something that you want for yourself because it's like, oh, I'm better than everybody.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that's literally why we created this podcast, was to open the eyes of people that don't know sport, that didn't get brought up in that way, to be able to see what sport has to offer.
Yeah.
Because to me, the greatest experience as a human with other humans is to share the things you're passionate about with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody else get passionate about something and being able to be like, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And the tough line of distinction is there can be achievements that are incredibly difficult that are intended for not all people to achieve. And that is okay that they exist, that those really tough, extreme challenges exist that not everyone can achieve. It is okay that those exist. It is a problem when the entire experience is intentionally preventative towards other people from even having an opportunity to access it. That's the difficulty. The point of a challenge that is extremely hard is not that not everyone can attempt it. It's everyone can attempt it and only a few will succeed. Not that only a few people can even attempt it and even less people can succeed. Everyone should be able to attempt it. And that's where the fuzziness comes in, because yes, everyone can boot up Elden Ring and you could probably be the tutorial boss. Most people could. I think like even the achievement system says 98% of people have beaten the tutorial boss in, not the first one, not the spider.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking about the Soldier of Godrick.
Yeah, okay. That I was like, Mark, I watched you go
everyone's beaten that one. No, it's just like, but you know, where is the line in terms of someone's ability to play? Someone who only has access to a limited part of their body, maybe even just like eye movements at what? Like, it should not be frowned upon to try to create tools for everyone to be able to access this, even just try it, because that's all people want, is just an ability to try it. If they are not good enough to like get through all of the story, heck, I think 50% of the people that played Elden Ring didn't make it through all the way the story, and they're perfectly capable at that. It's just like, you know, it was too tough for them. The challenge was too tough. I think that is like getting people a chance to play it until they themselves can make the decision, like, I got as much as I wanted out of it. That's what we should fight for.
Yeah, it doesn't diminish your accomplishment of beating the game. If there's an easy mode of the game or a hard mode of the game, you can say, I beat it on hard mode.
Yeah.
Like, just adding another word doesn't mean anything.
There's been easy modes in games since I first played Doom, has 5 difficulty levels.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is it should speak to game developers in general, and this is going way off a tangent anyway in this topic, but to be able to have a game and wanting everybody that possibly would be interested to play should appeal to game developers.
Yeah.
period.
Yeah, and then there's the argument to being like, okay, but what if the game developer doesn't want an easy mode? And it's like, okay, sure, they made the game, and I guess can't really say anything about it because the experience is carefully tuned to be difficult, like with the Elden Ring example. And I think that's okay. However, saying that people can't use controllers that are specifically meant for accessibility purposes, like, I'm fine with the developer making an experience that is intended to be hard, but all these other people are looking at it like, they want an easy mode, and it's like, no, they just want to get in the door.
Yeah.
They just want to have a chance to play. Yeah. For those people, if people are saying, like, I want an easy mode because I want to experience all the story of the game, I would say, look, I'm sorry, it's not that type of game. There's other games out there for you. But when it comes down to accessibility, just getting them the equal opportunity to have a chance,
yeah,
that is what I fight for.
And sport does that, which is what I love, because there's adaptations to wheelchair basketball, there's wheelchair hockey, there's a whole bunch of different versions of sport to
Special
create
Olympics. I think
Special Olympics just happened.
Yeah. 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 So it shouldn't be frowned upon to try to allow as many. Like, it's gates open. Come on in.
Yeah.
If you trip on the door frame, like, that's fine, you know, but gate is open.
Yeah.
Help people up again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. How did we get into this topic? What was the
It was one prompt about
It was about cheating. If cheating was completely impossible. Yeah.
I don't think that we have any time for more of those, because we got too deep into that one. So I will expunge all the ghosts out of my
This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver 3 essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
All right. So today I wanted to get personal.
Oh boy.
I wanted to focus on you.
Me?
Yes.
Wow.
Because you're an important part of this podcast. You're an essential ingredient to everything that this podcast is.
Thank you, King of Balls and Holes.
Oh my God.
It sounds so majestic coming from your royal lips.
But I want people to have a better understanding of your background in sport, or lack thereof.
Okay.
So that the depth of this podcast, people can understand where you're coming from versus where I'm coming.
Perfect. Because this is great, because there's a lot of people out there that don't know if I'm goofing or not about my lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And I can tell you very straight up, like, I make a lot of jokes on this podcast. I really don't know that much about sports. I will detail my entire experience with you however you would like. How shall we approach this?
So we're going to start from the very beginning. Your birth. Act one.
The sport of my birth.
The sport of birth.
Dun, 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 dun.
So act one, I wanted to talk about your childhood.
Uh-huh.
So this is all pre-high school.
Pre-high school,
so
okay.
We're starting from, like, when you're as far back as you can remember, because I know remembering stuff for a lot of people is pretty difficult going back when they're young. But what was your first, like, introduction to, like, play or anything athletic as
okay.
a kid?
The first introduction to play would have been, like, computer-based video games, but physically athleticism-based things. The earliest thing I can remember is in our driveway, we had a basketball hoop.
Okay.
Very common thing, I think, especially in America. Like, you've got a driveway, you might have a basketball hoop, or someone on your street has a basketball hoop. And so that was my first thing. However, me and my brother didn't really care about playing basketball. Mm-hmm. We did the thing with throwing the ball in the hoop every once in a while, but that was boring. What we were more interested in is climbing the pole. Literally. And this is from a very early age where we realized, oh, we have better grip if we take our socks off of the climb up this metal pole like this. And that's also where I experienced my first injury during my athletic adventure, is because this was it had black paint on it, but it was rusting.
Yeah.
And it had bolts exposed on the pole. So as I was climbing up as a kid, I decided to slide back down, a playground slide. And I just remember as I went down along my stomach, one of those metal bolts just went like just a big scratch all the way up. And it was like, started bleeding. I'm looking at him like, I'm dying. Like a kid, you just think you're dead. And so I had a tetanus shot at that point. So
right.
I had all my boosters and whatnot, but I was just like, all I heard is, I remember even as a kid, I don't know where you hear about these things as a kid, but I knew tetanus was bad. Tetanus, worst thing it could possibly, lockjaw. That was the thing I knew.
Oh, yeah.
Like these things when you're a kid live in your brain, and it's like lockjaw. As soon as I get scraped by anything rusty, my jaw is going to lock up and I'm never going to be able to breathe again. That's what you think as a kid. So I just remember running and screaming like, I can feel it. My jaw's locking up.
How old were you when this happened?
I was like six or something. Five maybe, real young. But that was probably my first experience with anything sport related.
But obviously you ran. Like, I imagine you and your brother probably, did you get along with your brother entire life?
Me and my brother, we were playing all the time, in the backyard. It was never sports stuff. It was going out in the woods and whatnot.
You climb trees just like you climb poles?
Oh, yeah. Scrape my skin on that, too. Sliding down the bark. I was not a very smart or safe kid, but we climb on everything. That was, as a kid, you just climb on shit.
Yeah. So you'd run and you'd climb. That was basically kid play.
Yeah.
Did you ever, obviously in Ohio, we got snow, especially when we're kids. It gets less than that now, but.
Yeah. Evening. Winter.
Winter.
Also often known as the evening of the year. There was this hill through the woods, across the creek, which as a kid seems like across the country through the river, but it was literally maybe half a mile. There was another house that had, you don't know, but you maybe know. He was in our grade.
Yeah. I'm thinking of two different Sean's, but it was.
Wasn't he like a model as a kid? This kid?
Sean. What is his last name?
What is his name?
It starts with an M, right?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, wow. I didn't hang out with him a lot.
Sean McAfee? Sean?
I don't know. But either way. Yeah, I think it was his parents' house, and they had a big hill. And when it snowed, it's not like we were allowed to sled on their hill, but they had the perfect sledding hill. And again, as a kid, if I went there today, it'd probably be maybe 20 feet high. But as a kid, I remember very distinctly, there were three tracks on this hill, three paths that were guided by trees, lined up perfectly for it.
Guided by trees, more like there are obstacles.
No, there were lines. And so, we'd go all the way to the top and we'd zoom down and we'd go for miles down the mountain, and then we'd have to slow down before we go into the creek, because it was just it was just a short runway. And so that was very fun until the parents would come out and yell, you're gonna kill yourself. Very common theme in my childhood, someone telling me I'm gonna hurt myself and then me hurting myself, even in the summer, me and my brother did, we took our red wagon, the red wagon everyone's childhood, and we'd take it up the mountain, we'd rip the sides off that bad boy, throw
it
to the side.
So it was just the brown platform.
And then the big metal steering wheel, quote unquote. Yeah,
that if something bad would have happened, it would have straight through your body.
Right through your face. But it's the only way we could steer, so here we go. Straight down the hill. We crashed, capsized. I don't know how we didn't break anything, but it was
at least you did yours on grass. We did ours on driveway, heading straight into the pavement.
No. Oh no. Yeah, that was no good. But we only crashed once and that hurt, so then we didn't do that again.
So did you get into like organized sport? When did you do your like first organized sport? Was it wrestling when we met like in fourth grade?
No, it was third grade because that was a year before I went to public school. My brother was part of the basketball team.
Okay.
And this was looking back, it's very strange because Calvary Christian Academy was like a K-12 Christian school.
Okay.
It was tiny, right? It didn't have, even in all the grades from K-12, that didn't have one person per grade. It was very, very tiny. And so the basketball team was anyone third grade and up could on this team. So you had like high school level kids playing with little toddlers, like with their little uniforms. And so that was my first experience doing that because my last year, I believe I was part of that team. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
You ever get boxed out by some 7-foot giant man that was just like, get out of here?
I'm sure I did. You know, they regularly played the NBA. they cycled through, like a charity circuit.
That's why you know Shaq.
I know Shaq so
well. He stepped on you giant feet.
That's why he's in the back of my mind every day of my life. I can't get him out of my dreams. I loved in the animation.
Oh my God. It was so perfect.
The Attack on Titan.
I literally watched it last night. I was over at TJ's place. He had a housewarming party. And apparently he's been sharing the animations with his current significant other. And she was like, oh, you guys have to watch this. So they had me pull it up on the screen. I'm sitting here like, and I haven't watched them in a while because I watched them when they came out. But I've been so busy with all the other episodes and everything going on. I was dying laughing when Shaq popped out.
It's so good. If you guys haven't seen it, it's on my channel. It's just like, it's wonderful. Yeah. But that was it. And then it would have been wrestling from then on out.
Okay. Yeah. And so like we met in fourth grade because you didn't start wrestling until fourth grade.
Yeah. And this is where like my memory fails me is because basically from fourth grade to about seventh grade, I don't remember anything.
I remember a lot.
I remember very little from that time period in my life. I think it's because my parents were going through a divorce at that time. Because that's why I went to public school. And, like as a kid, you can't really process things. But I have this one occasion. I think I've talked about this before where I was in my room one morning and I needed to go to school because I needed to ride the bus and that was a new thing and I needed my planner because
we always had those little
I kept forgetting it and I would lose points or I would get a demerit if I didn't bring my planner. Next thing I knew, I was sitting on the bus. No, I swear, I blinked and I was on the bus. I had no recollection of leaving my room, eating breakfast, getting my backpack, and waiting at the bus stop. The next thing I knew, I was on the bus. Could not remember anything. And like, that's what my childhood from that time mostly was. It was just like big gaps in memory and very strange.
I'm wondering if you were just blocking out because you were going through a lot of stress time.
Yeah. So it was 100%. Looking back, it's like blocking out.
Yeah, protective instincts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just happens. And like, that's what can happen to kids. So when like, I don't remember any of the sport related things from those times, except for recess. I remember recess.
Oh, in middle school, were you in that same group where we played Foursquare?
Yeah, you went to, was it Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in.
I remember we both walked to Thaxton's house for his birthday.
Oh, right. He lived right there.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Paul. Bill, you're unlocking unlocking core memory. Like, chunk, chunk. Oh, yeah. Right. He lived right up that hill. Cool.
Yeah, I still remember that birthday party.
I remember tetherball. Like that was my jam. I loved tetherball. Right. Foursquare was like I everyone kept cherry bombing me and I'd have to run real far and get it. Yeah.
At least you didn't have wink wink nod nod gets a burn.
Oh, what? That's another core memory you're unlocking. Wait, why is that? Why do I know that?
Because
wink,
that
wink,
was
nod nod.
That was literally the signal. That was the code for get Tyler out because we're mad at him.
Why do I remember that? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Gets a burn. What the fuck?
I remember it because when I figured out it was targeting me, the funniest thing is, I figured it out, but instead of being upset, I took it as a challenge.
Right, as you would. As you would.
So it was like, bring it on.
Oh, man. God. Yeah, see, I just like all those like little moments are kind of like hidden away for me, and I've never really like dug deep, but it's like, Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, in fourth grade, like wrestling, the reason me and you got to know each other is because we were in the same weight class. Mm-hmm. And my brother and Thomas would get matched up together.
Right, right, yeah.
Because we're both the same age groups. Mm-hmm. So it just worked out. And that's how I met you and got to know you.
Yeah.
And like our parents knew each other more than we knew each other. Right, right. Really,
that's how it is. Like my dad knew everybody. And this is like the difference between the memories I remember are only the embarrassing things. I remember in fourth grade when I first came in, it was like a show and tell, and I didn't know what show and tell was all about. So I had like brought in a pen or something for show and tell one night. And then the next week it was another show and tell. And I was like, there's more than one show and tell. So I brought the same pen. And like, I remember, God, it was like, I don't know if this is really what it was, but I think in this classroom, there was like some tower that you had to climb up and give a presentation to everyone. That's what it felt like. I don't know if that's just my childhood brain distorting what it was.
Your brain.
I think that's what it is too. But at the same time, as a kid, the way I remember it is like this huge ladder that I had to climb up and a whole story. And when you were at the top, you were like towering over everybody. And I remember I had this pen and I was like, this is a pen. And everyone was like, that's the same pen. And like, this could have been a dream for all I know. Like, that's what I don't know about my childhood is like half of it is like weird, embarrassing memories of me being like, it's a different pen. And be crying. But then like, that's all I really remember. And then my honors class that the teacher hated me. Were you in that honors class? This is before Maine. This is Miami. You didn't go to Miami.
I didn't go to Miami, yeah. So I want to know.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Because I went to South.
Yeah, I won't name names, but she was a bitch.
I'm not afraid of calling out my teachers or people. I'm not afraid of it.
I'm not going to name names.
For all you know, she was terrible. She could not be around anymore.
She might be dead.
I was like, I didn't want to just be dead.
I wouldn't wish that. You know, there's only one person that I've wished that upon. And they deserve it.
That's fair.
I'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
I'll leave it at that. But this is clear, just teacher, you know, like I wasn't the best student either. So I was like, but I didn't know because I was like, so confused. But anyway, there's a whole different story. I wouldn't wish them ill.
Yeah. Wow. So your basic sport knowledge is like foursquare, tetherball, little bit of basketball and wrestling.
Yeah. And climbing in the woods and sledding.
And, well, yeah, the normal outdoor recreational sport stuff. So like sledding and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But now getting into the later years, because now we're getting into like high school and college.
Sure.
This is when me and you actually started becoming closer friends. Like we knew each other as kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, you didn't go out and hang out with people. And I mostly stayed and hung out with the people in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so like come high school and college is when, you know, I think you actually started exploring sports because that's when you started doing field and throwing.
Yeah.
And that's when like I know in college you started like trying a whole bunch of different stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So for act two, that's what we're getting into.
Is okay. Like so wrestling only lasted for me until freshman year. I think freshman year was my last year doing it of high school.
I remember you leaving because we had a conversation about it.
Oh, I fucking hated it. I just did.
Everybody did.
Everybody hated it. It is like it was too much. Like I didn't want to do all the weight dropping and stuff like that, and it was just like too intensive. Like it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great, and so I was just like, I don't want to do this. And also at the same time, I was in marching band, and I was like,
right.
And that also I hated. I don't know why I did that. Well, I know why is because friends, right?
Right.
You always stick with friends, and it was a weird thing because I believe now that marching band is what made me stop liking trumpet. And I hate to say that because I was very good at trumpet and I did enjoy being good at trumpet. But when marching band got in the mix, suddenly it was difficult to play because you had to move and play at the same time. So I was worse than I was when I just sat. And so my confidence got shot. And then as it progressed, I didn't practice as much. So I was better in concert band, but marching band, I was not good. And especially culminated in senior year of me flubbing all my solos. And just like my confidence went. But outside of that, whether or not you consider that a sport or not is
no, but it's physically intensive. You guys started, I think your guys' summer training started even before 2 days of football.
It was a lot of training. I was actually stunned at how much because it's band kids. So usually like band kids are kind of nerdy, but it's a lot of work. You're marching in the hot sun for hours a day and marching, like even if it seems like you're not moving very fast, it's tough with the roll step and being balanced in the lungs. Like
you have
to
be smooth and at the same time, especially if you're using a wood instrument,
yeah,
or a wind instrument, not a wood instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
because you have to control your breath in that while you're also physically exerting, and like the way you have to work and move your feet. Uh-huh. And this is something I didn't learn about until after high school, but I knew a bunch of marching band kids and friends, but it's physically intensive.
Yeah.
You have to be athletic to be in a marching band.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but all that aside, still hated it.
Right.
Then I did track and field. And I did track and field in junior high, too. I did hurdles in junior high, so it's a sprint-based event. I wasn't great at it, but, you know, I was pretty good. And then when I got to high school, I was like, I want to not run. What can I do that doesn't involve running? And then I saw everyone throwing, and I'm like, that looks like fun. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the throwing team, and that was great. Like, running was an individual event, but it also had like relay running and stuff like that. And I just hated running. When you throw, it is purely just you. You're not running against someone. There's no one that's like next to you running. You're not trying to directly compete. It's literally was one of the most solitary experiences in sports that I had at that point. Mm-hmm. Because even in wrestling, it's individual, but you have an opponent right there you're fighting.
Yeah.
Throwing, you just take turns and you do the best you can. You're not directly competing with one person, you're competing with everyone overall, but more importantly, you're just trying to throw as hard as you can.
Yeah, whether you're not standing across from each other throwing 5-pound balls trying to collide into each other and knock somebody out.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. That would be crazy. You would know, master of balls and holes. Is that the sport of which you are the king of?
No.
But yeah, it was just a nice change. It was all of these events were like hyper competitive, and this was at a point when, you know, I'm a teenager. You get hormones shooting out of your eyes. Eyeballs, you know, you got this anger, and I was a very angry kid. Like, I just had anger issues, pure and simple. I'm like, I don't want to beat around the bush. I was an angry kid.
Well, you definitely had a lot going on in high school, a lot more than like the average person.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, even that as an excuse is like, I was just pure and simple because I got it from my mom, and she has like a temperament. She's much better now. She's learned to control it. And at this point, I did not like being angry. So I've gone to great strides to change it. You know me. When I say I don't like playing rage games, you know why. It's because like the problem is I do like being angry. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I feel good when I'm angry. There is a cathartic release to being angry. But I've trained myself to reject that feeling. It's why I don't like competitive multiplayer games. It's why I don't like competitive things in general. It's why, kind of why, probably why I've sort of avoided sports a lot of my life is because of the competitive nature of it. It's too easy to feel myself falling into that like adrenaline fueled anger and stuff like that. And so that's probably where I started detaching from sports in general, was actually playing individual throwing. Mm-hmm. It really was. Even though I was still in sports, it's where I'd started to kind of separate this extreme competitive anger, like adrenaline fueled, kill your opponent, to a more internal look within yourself, struggle to see your shortcomings and try to overcome them purely based on inwardly looking.
Yeah, basically just seeing what you can do and then trying to get better at it.
Exactly. And then helping your teammates along the way, because even though I was competing with my teammates at the same meet, didn't matter. We were all just trying to like hang out and just do our best. And that's where I started to fall in love with the cooperative like nature of competing. I probably would have loved football. I never had the chance, but I probably would have loved it. Just because, yes, I would have had an opponent across from me, but the idea of like collaborating with other people and like trying to build each other up, I never had a chance to play it. What I bet I would have liked it.
To some degree, you did though, when we had our group of friends come together and we played backyard football.
Yeah, two-hand touch or flag football.
Yeah, two-hand touch. There were multiple times of bad collisions.
Right,
but...
right. And there were some like rage moments. But you know, it was fun. The only time I really remember one moment, because people always knew I was kind of fast.
Yeah.
And I don't know the situation, but like Thaxton got the ball and like he was like showboating out here.
Oh.
And I had like already kicked into full sprint mode. And I just remember him looking over his shoulder at me and just going, oh, just like this look on his face, like, oh, shit. And then I like dove and I got him like right before he crossed the touchdown line. I still didn't even really understand football rules. All I knew was like, people think I'm fast, so I gotta run real fast. And then I go. That was fun. Those are really good times, like just like playing with friends, real casual, real like low stakes, you know.
I only got to play with you guys so often because of whether it was water polo in high school, or we even played a little bit in college, which I played football in college. So when I showed up, it was kind of like,
I remember, you were a quarterbacker, and it was just like, you just sat there, you throw? And it's like, because you would actually know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But the problem was I could never catch. So even though I was fast, I was like, shoom! And I was like, so many balls hit me in the face in those games. Just like, buff,
buff, buff. But when you caught it, it was, oh, you were gone.
Yeah, the two times I caught it, yeah. I think that was my problem is I was so ready to run. I'm like, and then I'd fumble it as I'm trying to sprint. These short, powerful legs.
Well,
good for sprinting.
You didn't do a lot of sports at a young age to work on the eye-hand coordination of catching.
You're right. I never played catch as a kid. Oh, wow. I never even realized that. I never played catch as a kid. Therefore, I wouldn't have developed the skills.
The essential motor skills that you develop with early sports, you didn't have at that point. So you didn't necessarily have the fine-tuned nerves to catch a football.
I never even thought of that because that's absolutely true. My childhood was based on like running around, grabbing and climbing shit. It wasn't around throwing objects. And people don't realize just how complex the skill of throwing and catching. It's so simple because most people do it every day, but throwing, catching things. I remember, I don't remember who it was, but it was someone else on the throwing team. It's like we were having a punch the shoulder contest, you know, it's just like a macho thing. Like who's going to tap out first? And I remember I went to punch and I missed. That was more embarrassing than losing the competition. I freaking missed his shoulder. And I'm like, how did I miss that? And so, like, it's just one of the things where, oh, wow, because I literally had never practiced the hand-eye coordination. It really just wasn't a skill. Huh, weird.
You're learning something new.
I am learning something new.
Yeah, so it seems like, you know, obviously, like we talk about, you didn't really have much experience in sports. You obviously know throwing.
Yeah.
You know, like, the basics of what we've talked about for the most part, and you understand the stuff that you've done, like climbing a tree or doing those sorts of things. But this further explains, like, you understand stuff mentally, like your mental faculty being able to absorb stuff and understand anatomy and physiology from education and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But your body and the fine-tuned motor skills that you get usually as a young kid, you didn't necessarily have.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you've developed throughout sports and stuff like that and chose to avoid it based on your mentality at the time, it really showcases like why, you know, this isn't fully a joke. Like we ham it up and we make it funny because it's fun. It's more fun to make it entertaining. But it's also the fact that you actually don't know.
Yeah, I really, truly do not know. And because I never got that training, I don't really have a native appreciation for other people's ability to execute upon these things. I don't think a lot of people do, even if they appreciate the sport, just how much goes into it. But because I physically can't mirror it in my mind, me doing these things, I kind of just like have this detachment from it where it's like it's not even a consideration. Whereas I'd say most people that had like plenty of experience catching and throwing a ball know how difficult it is to make a full body diving catch with one hand and like you barely get your pinky and ring finger on it. You know, that would be incredibly impressive. And I can see that. But then the only relation I would have is like action movies where I'm like diving with guns and whatnot.
But I mean, this leads into like college as well. Like you did the I think I listened to it on the Distractible episode, but I had heard this story before when you injured your back trying parkour because you tried a bunch of stuff in college.
Yeah, yeah. I think I injured my back and my shoulder that same day, and those problems have plagued me since because I never got them addressed because what is healthcare when you're in college? You just walk it off, rub some dirt on it, you know, kiss it, a little boo-boo kiss. But yeah, I tried parkour, and this is where I learned that unlike video games, if you put on the right armor, you don't get plus in that skill. Because I literally wish I had a picture of myself in that day. I wish I did because I swear I just tried to dress up like a Mirror's Edge, the Mirror's Edge character. Yeah. But I don't even think Mirror's Edge came out of that.
Was just what you pictured, Parker. Did you have like the fingerless gloves?
Oh, fingerless gloves, you know, like sweatpants hiked up a bit. I had a fanny pack, I think.
Yeah,
the sling, you know, and then I think I had a bandana or something like that, sunglasses, wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of what I'm dressed as today.
Stereotypical parkour guy.
It's actually kind of my dress today, because I wrote on my back.
It became your fashion.
I mean, maybe, you know, tech wear is coming up to the forefront. I got to get ahead of that. But yeah, so I went out, and the parkour club, I should have known something was up when the guys who organized it did also not do parkour. So it's like, it's, you know, freshman year of college. So it's like, you're in college. Like, whoa, like all these opportunities. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to try new things. So I'm like, I'm going to try everything. I'm going to say yes to everything. And it was like, parkour was one of the first ones. And God, I wish it was anything but this one was my first one. Because we were going around that garage, that parking garage. If you want to listen to the full story in detail, the Distractible episode, I don't remember which one it is. Whatever. Go look it up. This is Go, my favorite.
It was like, Hold My Beer. Was it the Hold My Beer moment?
Yeah, it was Hold My Beer. And then, like, we're going around this parking garage, and it's literally like, if I fall off the side, because we were up the third, fourth story, if I fall off the side, I'm dead. And that's like my first introduction. And that should not be anyone's first introduction to any kind of sport. It's like in the movie Eddie the Eagle, you know, he's like,
he did not start on the big jump.
Yeah, but he kind of did, like, afterwards. And then he was sure. Like in a stretcher, like no one's first introduction to this shit should be that intense, because I got hurt multiple times that day. I dropped off a two-story building before I even knew how to roll. The fundamentals were not there. And admittedly, I may have lied about how much experience I had.
Because you wanted to be cool.
Exactly, because I wanted to be cool. Do not let that shit get in the way of your safety.
Don't let pride overrun safety or self-preservation.
Exactly, which is like why just recently on my bike, I have a full face mountain helmet on that bike because I do not fuck around when it comes to the moneymaker. This is my moneymaker. But also just like 34% of injuries when you fall off a bike are on your chin. My chin's huge. Your chin's huge. What if these get hit? They're big targets. Like, I don't want to injure that. Like, don't fuck around. And so when I was in college, like, I literally did not prioritize my safety over my social status.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even worth it as a social status, because those guys that were part of it, one of them may be dead by now because we never saw him again after he busted his ass. And the others never talked to him again because they left me when I rolled off the roof and hurt my shoulder.
When the cops were coming too.
It was an ambulance. It wasn't even the cops. The cops were not coming.
They were coming for you. That's the ambulance was ready.
That's what we thought. God, I wish that ambulance was for me, because I really royally messed up my shoulder. It was one of those things that haunted me for a long time. I still have mobility issues in my left shoulder. Like, it still pops sometimes. I still can't go back as far. I injure it frequently when I'm working out. And then my back, my mid-right back below my shoulder blade, still I pull that muscle all the time. And I think it's because I landed flat on my ass when I did parkour. And then after that, like, my entire rest of the freshman year was kind of painted with that experience. And I was like, I don't think I want to try anything new. That one hurt a lot. Yeah.
Well, now we get into act three, the final act, talking about today.
Today, me today.
Yeah.
The shining beacon of athleticism that I am today.
Well, I mean, like, you and Ethan had like the challenge of getting in great shape during Unus Honest.
Yes.
You've obviously worked a ton to be in better shape for so many different reasons, like just health-wise and stuff like that. You introduced me to keto. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first came out here in 2015, when you invited me out, you were asking me about like workout stuff, and I got you in the pool and we ran around and swam and did a whole bunch of stuff, and then you hated me.
Wait, no, that hilarious story of us doing a whirlpool in that apartment pool.
In all fairness, that was because it was also a leg workout.
Yeah, it was. But I just remember, we were also into it, but just from my mind's eye looking at it from someone looking down at the opinion, like, you just leading a train of like six adults, you're like, come on guys, march, we're gonna make a whirlpool in a pool that was way too big.
We got a little bit of a current, like we could stop and you could feel it a little bit.
The tiniest bit, maybe.
And it would last like a second.
I think I felt the current from the person in front of me farting on me. Like, that's how much of a current we were making. But yeah, so today, I have been through bouts of like getting in good shape, like falling out of shape, and it's like a constant cycle. And actually what I'm trying to do now with me biking more, I want to just create things in my life where I have to use my human body to physically do more things. I'm not worried about like getting on the cover of Men's Fitness or whatever like that. I don't want to be like a god of fitness. It's really a lot of work to get to those levels of aesthetic fitness. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, and especially the world that you and I are in on the internet as like people, that is kind of the pressure with a lot of these things, especially in the celebrity world, more than just like our world, is to maintain a really good physical appearance. And that kind of pressure is like more motivated externally than it is about a desire inside. When we were going for Unisantis, it really was like a, oh God, I'm out of shape. I need to actually work on this stuff. So I was happy to do that. But then the goals got distorted. It was less about like being happy with where I was physically in terms of physical shape and more about like the aesthetics of perfection. And achieving perfection is very difficult. That's why it's a full-time job for bodybuilders and like fashion models and stuff like that. It takes a lot of work. At my most intense, I was doing a 30-minute run in the morning, an hour session with my personal trainer, Alex. And then in the afternoon, I went to a CrossFit gym and did an hour workout. Again,
wow!
I was working 2.5 hours a day just on physical exercise. I was extremely worn out physically, mentally. I was drained. I hated it, but I kept doing it because I was like, oh, I'm going for a goal. I'm just going to be great. Whereas like what I've learned in all of my journey of physical fitness and all these athleticisms is it should be enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, to me, sports. That's what sports is. It's turning this physical exercise that most people look at it as like this chore into something that is so fun, you want to do more of it. That should be exercise. My bicycle, I love it. I want to ride it all the time because it's fun. And even if it's an electric bike, I still pedal and it's like I get physical exercise out of it and I get joy out of it.
Right.
Athleticism in my mind should not be a burden. The ideals of getting this physical perfection, like if that's your goal, fine. But for us everyday life, it shouldn't be the worst part of our day. It should be something we look forward to, and that's how you're going to get farther in it. And that's what I've come to terms with my workouts and stuff like that. I want to look forward to it. I want to walk away from it out of breath but looking forward to the next session. That's what I want. So that's where I think I am today.
That's why I've always loved, like, we've gone rock climbing together.
Oh, I want to go rock climbing some more.
I'm completely down. Saturday mornings.
You absolutely introduced me to rock climbing.
I did.
You were training for Ninja Warrior.
In 2015.
In 2015, and they rejected you for God knows why reasons, because you were in stunning shape.
I was 185 pounds and I was about 6% body fat.
Yeah. You were in incredible shape. The things you were able to do climbing, I had never been able to do in my entire time. And I really went at climbing. The most I was ever able to get was like a V5.
I probably did, like, I didn't do bouldering. I ended up doing like rope climbing. Yeah. I think it was like a 513.
513? That's pretty good.
I think it was a 513.
Like A, B, C?
I think it was B.
B? That'd be pretty good. I'd usually do like 5.11 and but that would be tough.
I also free soloed the second flat iron with my brother on that same trip, which if you know what the flat irons are, they're in Colorado, and free solo means no rope, no safety. You're literally climbing. It's just your body.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
I will say the flat irons are a pretty easy climb.
Because it's at an incline. Like, correct. It's not a straight face.
Yeah. So like I've been doing sports my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in a different episode, my stuff. But that's what I loved about sport. That's the reason why I've always been in great shape, is because of that. And actually in 2015, the American Ninja Warrior was off of fuck you energy after I got out of a toxic relationship.
Ah, gotcha.
That was the entire motivation behind that. And it was also something because it was like me and my brother, we had the kidney transplant story, and it was something that he, like, as much as you saw I was in shape, my brother has always been a freak athlete because I've always had the talent. My brother's had to work hard for everything that he's gotten.
Your brother talentless.
Like, not, is that what you're saying? Not really. Like, I could naturally pick up a basketball and play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my brother doesn't have that same motor skill refinement.
Yeah.
He looks more awkward, whereas I look more fluid.
You know, that's the funny thing, because my brother is like, it's the opposite. My brother was so physically coordinated. He was able to do handstands when he was a kid, just because he started practicing and he just got really, really good at handstands. And he was very physically minded. Like I do remember one time we were playing baseball way back in my backyard, but it was like neighborhood kids. And he was pitching and he was able to pitch well and get it right there. And then one time the bat hit and it hit him right in the chest and he went down. But he was so funny because he would like crumple in a heap and everyone was like, he's dead. And then he'd get up and he'd be like, ow. And then he'd keep going. Like, he was tough. So he was like very physically minded and tough, but it just wasn't his style. He gravitated towards art, like, instead of the physicality of it. So it's like, yeah, some people are innately like, they're very connected with the fine motor skills. More me, big brute force, punch hard.
Yeah. So I always had that talent to me. But my brother, he does trad climbing, which is the one where you actually put your own anchors in. He does paragliding. Mm-hmm. He's extreme sports my brother absolutely destroys me on. He's skied in avalanche zones, so he does like the open skiing, like he'd hike up and then ski down.
Oof.
Like, but he knows what he's doing. He's smart about everything that he does.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm 2 years younger than him. I was introduced to baseball at a young age. I followed my brother into all the sports that he did. Mm-hmm. But I just, for whatever reason, I've always had a natural knack for sport. So yeah. All my life, athleticism and fitness was because it was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And later in life, this is where I've struggled lately, is when I don't have organized sport. Because I'm an extrovert. I've always done team sports, less individual sports. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my last year of college that I joined swim team where I did an individual sport and found it fun.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I miss it a lot. But being able to, like, have these conversations with you and introduce, like, the world to the understanding of sport and why I think it's so fundamental to the human condition and with relation to health, like you just brought up,
mm-hmm.
it gives you that gateway to not feel like you're doing a chore.
Yeah.
You're having fun.
Dude, we got to go climbing again. I can't believe, because I've forgotten because of COVID, everything locked down. But now it's like back. It's like we can go again. We should pick a day and like make that our daily, our weekly go.
I literally was trying to organize that with another friend of mine. And she was just like, I don't know about weekly.
Yeah, but Strongly has rope climbing. We can belay each other.
Yeah.
You taught me to belay.
I did. I taught you how to do the figure eight. And
I probably remember it. At that place.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we got to just make that a thing. Number one, we're going to get sponsored by Super 73. Number two, we're going to bike everywhere so that we get in good shape.
Number three, we're going to get sponsored by climbing companies.
Yes, climbing companies, please sponsor us. Number four, give us more money. Number five, and we're going to go climbing.
And number six, all the places start inviting us to come and see it, even if I have to drag Mark onto the plane in my suitcase.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Well, we've actually ran through the time. Did we get through everything you wanted to
through? Oh, absolutely. I think we hit on everything.
Yeah, I don't have an extensive sport background, and I think people can understand, like, that is the limit of it. I do not watch sports day to day. I don't have this desire to see this, but I do have this nugget of appreciation for what sports means and what it means to me. And you can see how weirdly and conversely my individualistic sport kind of like pushed me away from the competitive side of sports. And I like that. I appreciate that because it made me really appreciate myself and what I was capable of. And that was essential for me to grow as a person. But at the same time, I'm coming back around and I'm realizing the appealing parts of sports and where it can bring meaning and fun and like athleticism into my day-to-day life, and I can become a better person physically and maybe mentally.
Well, and the greatest thing about this is it gives people that are listening now a greater understanding of what your background is and why, like, yes, it's a joke, but it's also the reality that you don't know the rules to these sports. You don't have the same understanding that a lot of people do, and you relate better to the people that don't. And whereas I have experienced so many different sports that our knowledge base is so different.
Yeah.
And even though we grew up within miles of each other, we experienced something distinctly different when it comes to the sports world, whereas I was fully in it and you were more on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Everyone has different experiences growing up. Like every single person, like even twins have different perspectives and different experiences. They can grow very separate or very the same. It's like really unique experience for every single person, but sports as a framework can be something that bonds everyone together.
Yeah, and you guys get to learn about it with Mark because he's also learning.
Yes, I am. And also in the near future, among all the other plans that we have with the Discord that is definitely there right now and the YouTube channel that will definitely be there very soon, we do want to get guests on board the show. We do want to do live streams with people. And I think today, like, this is a really good example of, like, how to get someone's, like, experience in sport. Like, I kind of like talking about it this way because even I didn't realize some things that connected to the rest of my life with my sports experience. Like, and the hand-eye coordination. Things like, I'm not a bumbling,
throwing anything.
Okay.
I have a gift for you from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, pucks.
Pucks. And this was a gift to our podcast.
Oh, wow. It's a jersey. Whoa, it's got GMFST. It's an actual, like, Tampa Bay Lightning jersey with the number one on it. It's an NHL branded one?
It's an official jersey.
Whoa. Official NHL jersey with GMFST on it. Take a picture of this and post it on, do we have a GMFST social?
I can post it on the Reddit, and I can send it to Wood Elf, and
that's
they can post it with their
super
stuff.
Super cool. That's dope. Is this for me?
You can have it.
No, yeah. No, you.
It's for the podcast.
No,
I've worn it.
You earn it. Yeah, it's kind of stinky. Yeah. That was pretty bad. No, but this is cool. Oh, we should definitely hang this up. Like, when we get our live stream set up, we should have, like, stuff like that.
Well, actually, I was going to say we should play hockey with those.
Oh, we should. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What is that?
It's a noisemaker.
Wow, they would give people this.
That was part of a tendon.
That was the like vuvuzelas at the World Cup way back in the day.
Oh yeah. It sounded like a hive in the place.
This would be pretty annoying too.
It gets really loud.
Oh God, no thank you. You can have it. I've noticed I'm very particular about noise, but for a guy who screams for a living, I am a little noise particular. But we are unfortunately out of time for this episode.
We are, but now Mark has some sports equipment, rather small, but it's going to be...
It's me-sized.
It's you-sized. Yeah. But yeah, this has been a great episode. I got an even greater understanding of like your experience and stuff like that. Like, I knew you a long time, but I learned so much more having this actual conversation.
Well, thank you. And I can't wait to hear about yours, because honestly, like, I know that you've done sports, but I don't know the specifics and how it relates to other things in your life.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be the next episode we do.
Maybe.
All right. Sounds good. And you at home get to know us a lot better, and you will continue to know us a lot better if you support this podcast by subscribing, liking, following it, and listening every single time a new episode comes out. It goes a long way to getting us to the top of that Super Bowl invite list.
We're number one for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
We are number one.
Number one.
Number one. The number one sports podcast in the United States of America.
That's the goal. The beginning.
I mean, it's kind of actually happening. But
so
we'll get there. We'll fluctuate, but we're going to get there. So thank you. Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, Mark. Hope you guys have a great day. We'll see you next time. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.